Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Nice being here in Amsterdam, seeing so many devotees, blazing kirtans. This is a very important part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is a very important book. This is chapter 4. Which deals with the internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. That doesn't mean that we're not very interested in his external reasons because they're external, but we're actually very much interested in his internal reasons because that's the real reasons. It's not exactly like that. Krishna's internal and external reasons are absolute, but we should also understand his internal reasons for appearing. Because as we try to spread the Sankirtan movement, we should also try to develop those internal emotions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not artificially. We can't artificially try to become a Manjari or some kind of Saki or something. There is a group of people who artificially try to develop those internal feelings, but they're not very successful. They actually remain on the material platform. But by association with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his service, that by such association and by proper cultivation, understanding, then we can experience those emotions, those internal experiences. Not that we're manifesting them from our own energies, because we have no energy or potency or ability to do it, but we're able to experience it because we're become eligible for Krishna's mercy. That's all. And as soon as we start thinking that we've become so elevated, we're higher than everyone else, we're Manjaris or something, everyone else is a conditioned fallen soul, but you know. Then at once Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates withdraw their mercy and will definitely be back on the material platform again. So here it says, this is Adi Lila, chapter 4, text number 146. Is that right?
Yep.
Aparikalita.
Aparikalita.
Purva.
Purva.
Ka.
Ka.
Chamatkara.
Chamatkara.
Hari.
Hari.
Purati,
Purati
Mama,
Mama
Garyan,
Garyan
Esha,
Esha
Madhurya Pura
Ayam
Aham
Api
Hanta
Preksha
Yam
Yam
Lubda,
Lubda
Teta
Saravasam
Upabhoktum,
Upabhoktum
Kamaye,
Kamaye
Radhikeva,
Radhikeva
Aparikalita Purva Kashchamatkara Kari
Aparikalita Purva Kashchamatkara Kari
Spurati Mama Garyan Esha Madhurya Pura
Spurati Mama Garyan Esha Madhurya Pura
Ayam aham api hanta prekshalam ludva cheta
Ayam aham api hanta prekshayam ludva cheta
Saravasam upabhoktum kamaye radhikeva
Saravasam upabhoktum kamaye radhikeva
Not experienced.
Purva.
previously. Ka hu. Shamatkara kari.
Shamatkara kari.
Causing wonder.
Spurati.
Manifest. Mama. My. Garyan. More great. Esha. This. Madhurya
Pura.
Abundance of sweetness.
I am.
This.
Aham.
I.
Api,
even,
Hanta,
alas,
Preksha,
sing,
yam,
which,
Lubdha,
Cheta,
my mind being bewildered,
Sa,
Ravasam,
impetuously.
Upavoktum,
to enjoy.
Kamaye,
desire.
Radhika
Eva,
like Srimati
Radharani.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Who manifests an abundance of sweetness greater than mine, which has never been experienced before, and which causes wonder to all? Alas, I myself, my mind bewildered, on seeing this beauty, impetuously desire to enjoy it, like Srimati Radharani. This text is from the Lilita Madhava 834 of Srila Rupa Goswami. It was spoken by Lord Krishna when he saw the beauty of his own reflection in a jeweled fountain in Dwarka.
Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Sarasatun Deve Gauravani Gutarane Nirvishe Shashunjavadi Paskatya Devi Satana.
I guess you've been reading this for a while. Chapter 4. This is not a very easy part of the philosophy to understand, because to actually understand it, one has to be on the spiritual platform. Of course, for those who are on the spiritual platform, it's very easy to understand. And for those who still have some material identification or material attachments, it's a little difficult to understand, because we don't have the experience of what it's talking about. But we have something of experience. We can try to understand it, at least philosophically. And this is dealing with Lord Chaitanya's three internal reasons, or Lord Krishna's three internal reasons for taking the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Does anyone know what the three reasons are? Well, at least we'll learn something today. Does anyone know one of the reasons why Lord Chaitanya appeared?
Yes. To taste the sweetness of Radharani's love for himself.
Yeah.
Do you accept the principles of devotion?
No. That's the external reason. What's that? No, there's three internal reasons. So one of them is to taste the sweetness of Srimati Radharani's love for him. That is, Srimati Radharani, in the exchange of love between Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani, then Srimati Radharani, her love, the experience that she has, is 10 million times greater than the experience that Lord Krishna has. So he felt it was unfair. He should get a chance to experience what Srimati Radharani is experiencing too. The first reason is that and there is five different types of bhavas that form rasa. Does anyone know what the five different types of bhavas that form rasa are? Don't be shy.
Vyabhichari?
Yes.
Satvika? Staya?
What's that?
Staya?
Stayi.
Anubha?
Vibhav. Vibhav. So Vibhav means the impetus or the that causes our love. Just like when a child sees her mother or his mother, then that's the impetus for love. The child sees a cat or a dog, any old cat or dog on the street, there's probably not going to be much impetus for love. Of course, if it's your dog, it may provoke loving feelings. Not in us, but in other people. So the things that cause us to excite our loving propensity towards something, that's called vibhava. And vibhava has two divisions known as Karanga Premananda. Actually, the two divisions of vibhava are alambana and udipan. And alambana has two divisions, as you said. Has ashraya and vishaya. Because this sounds very philosophical, you know, what does it have to do with us? Why don't we get on with our lives? What are they trying to torture us with all these details? But believe it or not, this is the science of love. So if we're interested in developing love for Krishna or love for anything, we should understand what is the science by which it can be developed. Sometimes we think, well, we just fall in love, we walk down the street, and we see something and automatically fall in love, and that's the end of it. But that's not according to Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's a science of love. Of course, those who are immersed in rasa, they don't get, you know, they don't go to school to study. You know, now that we're immersed in rasa and love for Krishna, now we go to the university to get our PhD in rasa. But we should understand the ingredients so we can understand what will be favorable towards developing our love for Krishna and what will be unfavorable. So it's analyzed. Just like, for instance, in vibhava, the stimulus for love, there's two divisions. One's called ashraya and the other is vishaya. So ashraya means the reservoir of love. For instance, if one has, there's a rati, rati means attachment, bhava, it's actually a bhava, feeling. So the rati for the ashraya for shantarasa is who? Who's the abode of love in shantarasa? Because he's their Shantarasa is probably Shukadeva Goswami's Shantarasa is not exactly the same Shantarasa as what we're talking about, because he's a personal associate of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, although he's a parrot in Krishna's pastimes, he's actually more in Madhurya Rasa than in Shantarasa. But just think of generally the yogis and the meditating in the mountains who are meditating on Paramatma. They're considered to be the reservoir. And who would be the object of their meditation, the Vishaya? Yes, Paramatma or Narayan. And for a Dasya Rasa, who's the reservoir of Dasya Rasa? Yes, he's certainly one of the reservoirs of Dasya Rasa. Patrika, Raktak, and other servants of Krishna in Patri, in different abodes, or just the residents of Vaikuntha, many of them, the doorkeepers at Vaikuntha are certainly in the mood of Dasya Rasa, Jai and Vijay, if they haven't fallen down again. But they probably haven't, so Jai and Vijay. And who's the object of their worship in Dasya Rasa? What's that? Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan. And in Sakya Rasa, who's a Shraya of Sakya Rasa? Arjuna, yes, Arjuna. Sridham, Sudham, so many different cowherd boys, Kinkara, Madhumangos, more or less in that movie. There's different types of Sakya Rasas, such as the Sakas, the Priyanarmas, and the Let's see, does anyone know the four types of sakyas, rasas? There's sakya, there's priyanarma, there is prema priyanarma, and then there's one more. Anyhow, there are different varieties of intensity. There's those who have friendship with Krishna as his inferior, younger than Krishna, those who are on his same age, those who are a little older than him, so their friendship is a little mixed with parental affection, and those who serve Krishna by arranging for his pastimes with the gopis. They're called priyanarmas. Praise the priyanarmas, I guess. The most intimate of all the friendships. And who's the object of their love? The Vishaya for their love? What's that?
Krishna.
Yes, but what form of Krishna? Generally, Krishna is a young cowherd boy in Vrindavan. Not Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, or even Krishna, and generally, except for the praise of priyanarmas, Krishna as a lover of Srimati Radharani. No, Krishna is a young cowherd boy with a rope around his shoulders for tying the legs of the calves, and with a sometimes some food in his hand, some lunch bag in his hand from Mother Jasoda. And then there is Madhurya Rasa, who is the Vishaya, who is the Ashraya of Madhurya Rasa, the reservoir of... Yes, she's Radharani and her confidential associates. And who is the Vishaya, the object of their love? Yes, Krishna as Kaishora, Srinandanandana, yes, Krishna is the in the Kaishora age especially. So that's called Alambana Vibhav. And then there is, out of that, there's Udipan, things that excite love for Krishna. For instance, what will excite love for Krishna and those in Shantarasa? For those in Shantarasa, they should know. What will excite your love in Shantarasa? What's that? What things? Like Krishna's conch shell, the sound of Krishna's bugle, things related to his disc, his club, his lotus flower, things that are related to Narayan. And in Dasya Rasa, what will excite the love? What? I see we're not very conversant with the science of Rasa Tattva here. Things that will excite one's love in Dasya Rasa are, for instance, Krishna's slippers, or his eating utensils, or something, the fans that one utilizes to fan Krishna with. Things that just remind one of Krishna and one's service to Krishna. For Daruka, maybe Krishna's chariot and his horses. And in Sakya Rasa, Krishna's cow herding stick, Krishna's bugle, his flute. And for Vatsalya Rasa, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Jasoda's being the reservoirs of love in Vatsalya Rasa. And Krishna is a young child, a young little baby, and is the object of their love. Maybe Krishna's pearl in his nose, or his little slippers. These will all excite Vatsalya Rasa. And Madhurya Rasa, Krishna being a young adolescent, so the places of their pastimes, the Seva Kunj, or Krishna's with his peacock feather, so sometimes there are similar things that will excite ecstatic love in different rasas, but excite their ecstatic love in different ways. So this is called Vibhava, and on the basis of that Vibhava, Alambana, and Udipan, then when one feels ecstasy, one wants to manifest some kind of activity, which is called anubhava. So the Anubhava and the, for instance, with the cowherd boys, what would be an Anubhava of the ecstasies of the cowherd boys? Use your imagination. Yeah. Play with Krishna. Yes, that's one of the Anubhavas of the cowherd boys. That's a nice Anubhava, isn't it? Everyone wants to play all day long, and if you go back to the spiritual world, if you're a cowherd boy, then you can play all day long with Krishna. Of course, I don't know if they have video games, but I think the games are even more interesting. And sometimes you win, and sometimes Krishna wins. But everyone wins, actually, in the spiritual world. Here, everyone loses. Even you win the game, you've lost. But there, everyone wins. Even if you defeat Krishna, you win. And even if you lose to Krishna, you win. And the Anubhava, for instance, parental love, bathing Krishna, maybe, yeah. Smelling Krishna's head. Feeding Krishna. And the Anubhava of, there's different Anubhava. So, and then that, on the basis of those intensifying love, there are certain sattvika bhavas that are manifested. That is trembling, fading of the body's bodily color, tears in the eyes. Sri Rupa Goswami has told us when the air of life meets with different elements through the ecstasy, then it manifests different sattvika bhavas. When air, for instance, of life meets with the air element in the body, when there is ecstasy that hits the air element, then there is trembling in the body. Or maybe fading of the voice. When it hits the water element, then there's tears in the body. Tears in the eyes. So earth and water and fire and ether. When the ecstasy hits these different elements, then there's different manifestations of sattvika bhavas. So anubhava is voluntary, but sattvika bhava is ecstasy which is involuntary, or signs of ecstasy which are involuntary. And there's nine of them, I believe. Nine of them? Seven or nine, I can't remember. Tears in the eyes, trembling in the body, voice faltering, and fading of the color of the body. What's that? Stunned. What's that? Asta. Yeah. Stop being stunned. And then there is Vyabhichari Bhava, things that are seemingly contrary, or not very favorable, but produce different types of ecstasy, like dread and fear, anxiety, and even there's death. Of course, the devotees don't die, but they practically die, sometimes out of separation from Krishna. And then there's Sthayi Bhava. Sthayi Bhava means our permanent mood of ecstasy. When one comes to the platform of transcendence, we have a particular relation with Krishna, and that's called our Sthayi Bhava. Although now we're identifying ourselves with this body due to our false ego, but actually we have a real identity. We have a real body, we have a real consciousness, we have a real identity, and that's called Sthayi Bhava. Our feelings or emotions in that Swarup city, in our Swarup, in our body, our own body, or Swarup. Swa means our own, and Rupa means our own form. So we have an original form, and entering into that form is called Swarup City, coming back to our original perfection. We're already in our body, in our spiritual body, but we're misidentified ourselves with this body. Just like a person at night when they're dreaming, they dream that they're some other person or some animal or some bird flying overhead. But actually it's just a dream. They haven't changed their identity, they've just changed their identification. When one realizes again one's original identity, that's called Swarup City. And Sthayi Bhava is our mood in that particular Swarup City. Swarup. So for those who have the body of a cowherd boy, then they're in the Sakya Rasa. And when these Sakya Rasa or Madhurya Rasa or whatever the Sthayi Bhava is, the permanent ecstasy, then that's like the ocean of emotions that one has. But just like in an ocean, there are different factors that cause different changes. Like there's waves, and there's the movements of the moon, and the waves come about because of that. There's the air that passes over. There's the sunlight. There's so many factors, turbulence from underneath. So similarly, there are different things that add to our particular relation with Krishna that cause the waves of the ocean to surge up, and then they die down again. And so in the exchange of love for Krishna, there's a permanent ecstasy, and then there are other things. Just like a mother, she certainly loves her child. Her feeling is steady of loving her child, hopefully. So sometimes she may see her child crawling on the ledge of a building, about to drop off the building, a 20-story building. So certainly that arouses some emotion in the feelings of the parental love to the mother. She becomes full of anxiety due to her love for the child. Someone else may see the child and think, oh, let the kid drop off, who cares? But certainly the mother doesn't feel like that. She runs over to save the child due to her strong emotions. So that's called Vyabhichari Bhava. Or she may be walking along, she may see the shoes of her child, and that arouses in her, reminds her of her parental feelings towards her child. So that's called Vibhava. Seeing something that reminds one of one's child and arouses parental love. And as a result of seeing the child, then when they do something for the child, come over and smell the child's head, that's called Anubhava, because we don't do that in the West. Take it, you know, I don't know what we do in the West. I guess put some TV dinner in the oven for the child or something. And a parental love. And then that's called Anubhava. And the feelings of love, shedding of tears in the eyes, that's called Sattvika Bhava. So these emotions, especially Prabhupada says that parental love is probably the most selfless love in the material world, that these different emotions are also there, but in a perverted way, in the material world. So in that way, by understanding our own relationships here, we can get some idea of what is Vibhava, what is Anubhava, what is Sattvika Bhava, Vyabhichari Bhava, and Stayi Bhava. Because here is an ocean of relationships, of friendship and neutrality and parental and conjugal. So these also have all the elements, but in a perverted way. Lord Chaitanya, or Lord Krishna, he's generally the Vishaya, or the object of love for the devotees. But Srimati Radharani is the greatest ashraya of love, especially in Madhurya Rasa. When Lord Krishna, he wanted to take the position of the ashraya, so he could actually experience his own self, what he's like, what's it like, what is Srimati Radharani experiencing when she's in the position of the ashraya. So that's the first reason why Lord Krishna wanted to take Lord Srimati Radharani's position. It's a little subtle reason. He wanted to enjoy the bliss tasted by Srimati Radharani. Then Radharani, we cannot in any way compare. Gold and iron may be metals, but they're of a completely different nature. So Srimati Radharani, her only desire, along with her associates, their only desire is that Krishna may be pleased. Therefore, when they decorate their bodies, it's not for their own sense gratification. They decorate their bodies and they do everything just so that when Krishna sees them, then Krishna will feel pleasure. They have no selfish reasons whatsoever. Therefore, it's called prema. And of course, when Krishna sees them, his ecstasy increases when he sees how beautiful they are. His transcendental love and ecstasy increases. And therefore, when the gopis, they see Krishna's beauty increasing, because as his ecstasy increases, his beauty increases also. Then when they see that he's satisfied, then their faces and bodies blossom in transcendental ecstasy and love. And they become millions of times more beautiful than before. And then when Krishna sees how they become more beautiful, then his love for them increases and he becomes more beautiful. And when they see that he's become more beautiful, then they also become more beautiful. So this way you could probably figure out what happens afterwards. And this has been going on eternally. How wonderful and beautiful Krishna is, their ecstasy is millions of times more than Krishna's ecstasy. And there's one part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita where it says that when the gopis, their only desire, especially the Manjaris, their only desire is that Radha and Krishna may be united together and enjoy pastimes. So undoubtedly Srimati Radharani's ecstasy is even greater than Krishna's, but the gopis, their ecstasy is even greater than Srimati Radharani and Krishna's, uniting them together. Their love is even more selfless. They have no personal desire to enjoy Krishna, but when they unite Radha and Krishna together, their ecstasy is even greater. And of course, Srimati Radharani, she experiences more ecstasy when she gets the gopis and Krishna together than when she personally enjoys with Krishna. Enjoys with Krishna when she, in her selfless attitude of trying to serve Krishna, when she experiences Krishna's happiness due to her service to him. But she experiences even more happiness when she sees how the gopis are enjoying with Krishna, trying to serve him, and the ecstasy that they feel as a result of their selfless love. Prabhupada said that this is the mood of the Sankirtan movement. Not that we're simply trying to enjoy with Krishna, trying to please Krishna, because there's no way of enjoying Krishna in a sense. That type of enjoyment was like the enjoyment of Kubja or some other persons. That's usually called Rasa Basa. Krishna, trying to enjoy Krishna materially is not very tasteful. It's not really acceptable. Trying to enjoy Krishna means to try to enjoying by trying to please him. But the gopis, they have no desire to enjoy even by pleasing Krishna. Their only desire is that Krishna will be pleased. They have no desire for personal enjoyment. But because of that, they enjoy more than anyone could imagine. Because there is no impediment to their enjoyment. It's completely spontaneous and selfless. Their love is completely spotless. So the mood of the Sankirtan movement is to try to bring people to Krishna, to the service of Krishna, without any selfish desire for one's personal happiness. Therefore, the Prabhupada would say that the devotees who are going through the austerity of preaching, that they're certainly very dear to Krishna. And even Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that, how dear such devotees are, how they selflessly go out for trying to help others, para upakara, and how they become very dear to Krishna, how Krishna's heart softens when he sees how the devotees are selflessly working to bring his other children back to the spiritual kingdom. Because Krishna, his desire in the material world, his only desire is to see that the conditioned souls come back to their original platform of happiness, of enjoyment. Anyone in the material world, the karmis, the yogis, the gyanis, any one of them, they cannot actually enjoy on a spiritual platform because of their material attachments. Therefore, one has to come to the spiritual platform. So Krishna wants everyone to become attached to him because then their level of happiness becomes just like his, which is ananta, which is unlimited. That Krishna has no personal motivation for trying to help the conditioned souls in this material world because his ecstasy is already unlimited. But out of compassion for the conditioned souls, he wants to see them as happy as he himself, if not more happy. So when he sees that his devotees are working for the same purpose, then he becomes very pleased and his heart melts out of compassion for them, and Krishna empowers them and bestows all his mercy upon them. And the second reason for is taking the role of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu
It is to understand the transcendental sweetness of himself that Srimati Radharani experiences. That, of course, we went over that. See, these are quite subtle in some respects, but just to summarize it, according to my understanding, that Srimati Radharani is the abode of love, and because she's the abode of love, she can experience Krishna fully. More than even Krishna can experience himself, she realizes Krishna more than anyone else, all his sublime qualities. So Lord Krishna wanted to experience himself in that role. And at the same time, Srimati Radharani, she has a certain mentality of transcendental love for Krishna, which no one could understand, but because it's so selfless and so loving, that Krishna wanted to experience what that selfless love of Srimati Radharani is like. And at the same time, Srimati Radharani, she's able to experience Krishna's love for her more than, and relish that love, than Krishna can't really understand how sweet, how relishable his love is that Srimati Radharani experiences. So to taste that love that he himself has for Srimati Radharani, to experience in the role of Radharani his sublime qualities, and to taste the selflessness of Srimati Radharani's unalloyed love, then he wanted to take the role of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we want to experience Krishna, we also have to develop the same selfless mood. And then we can also experience Krishna's sublime nature and the loving feelings that Krishna has towards ourselves and towards all the rest, towards everyone. It is not that only Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eligible to experience the internal reasons. All of us have to experience these internal experiences. But the only way we're going to be able to do it is not simply by imagination, it's by practical service to Krishna. If we simply sit around trying to meditate on Radharani's bhava, emotions towards Krishna, we won't go very far. Because in our conditioned state, we'll undoubtedly mistake Srimati Radharani's emotions as something ordinary. One cannot have access to these things unless somehow or another we get Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is coming down in succession from Lord Nityananda. So we can see Lord Nityananda was the most confidential associate of Lord Chaitanya in the Panchatattva, but no time do we see that Lord Chaitanya is telling Lord Nityananda to sit down in Jagannath Puri and just experience the bhava. Is there any instance of that where Lord Chaitanya tells Lord Nityananda, sit down and just experience the bhava? No, he told Lord Nityananda, don't come back to Jagannath Puri. Please, not in that mood, of course, in a very loving mood. He said, don't come back, my dear sir. Stay in West Bengal and deliver all the fallen souls there, that you can do something that even I can't do. You can deliver, I can preach the prophets Ananda Saraswati and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but you've delivered Jagai and Maharaj. I wanted to kill them, but you sent them back to the spiritual world. And there's quite a few Jagai and Maharaj around. So you have a lot of service in Bengal. Please stay there. Don't come to Jagannath Puri every year. Because every year, the residents of Jagannath, of Navadvip, would stay, would come to Jagannath Puri to participate in the Chaturmasya, the rainy season, especially in the Rath Yatra festival that was held at Jagannath Puri every year. Shivananda Sen would lead a party there every year, and Lord Nityananda, Dvaita Acharya, and all the residents of Navadvip, they'd all come and join with Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. But he told Lord Nityananda to stay there and preach. So does this mean that he was angry at Lord Nityananda? He didn't want to see him anymore? No, or that he didn't want to give him as much mercy as the other residents? No, he actually had great mercy, because the preaching is most dear to Krishna. And by that preaching, this is what Lord Nityananda,
He did. He went door to door and he said, Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Kauro Krishna Shika. Chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, and follow his instructions. And if we do the same thing, then we'll be serving Lord Nityananda. And if we become servants of Lord Nityananda, the Panchatattva, then certainly we'll be able to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So this is the example that Srila Prabhupada showed us. The unalloyed, the desire to expand Krishna consciousness unlimitedly. Not that now I've got my temple, my mosque, I have my followers, and everything's alright. We just do a little parikrama and collect a little donations from the people who go on the parikrama, show the deity a little bit, and by our transcendental plans, we get sufficient amount of dal and rice and wheat for chapatis, and everything's perfect. So Prabhupada had a much more unlimited vision, a much more a vision which is actually in the selfless, spontaneous line of Gornitai. To spread Krishna consciousness widely. Sometimes people, they say, well, you're just in Vaidhi Bhakti. You're just Vaidhi Bhakti. He's following all these rules and regulations. We're spontaneous. We don't follow any rule and regulation. We've renounced even renunciation. But actually, it's furthest from the truth. Actually, the Sankirtan movement is a spontaneous desire to save the conditioned souls. Of course, we may not have a spontaneous desire for saving the conditioned souls. It doesn't mean that just because I'm a member of ISKCON, therefore, actually, I'm a Raghunuga Bhakti. No, but the Sankirtan movement is actually in the mood of spontaneous love to fulfill Lord Chaitanya's desire to save the conditioned souls. And by participating in it properly, with a proper consciousness and understanding, then this is the quickest way of coming to the spontaneous platform. Anyone who distributes books or does any service enthusiastically can see that sometimes in the beginning we're a little hesitant because of our speculations. We think, well, I don't want to go out in the street. The weather's not good. These people all look kind of like they came out of the lower planetary systems. And they kind of act like that. They don't want to see me, and I don't want to see them. We have a mutual relationship. Reciprocal. But then after one goes out for some time, then all kinds of emotions change. One may become angry and frustrated that these people, I'm not neutral towards them anymore. Not only they don't want to see me, but I'd like to see them in some other place. And then after becoming a little purified, controlling our minds a little bit more, trying to get the proper understanding, then the result is that we start realizing that actually these people are actually controlled by Krishna. As my attitude changes, so their attitude seems to change too. It seems to be like a relationship. Of course, my attitude towards them would really warm up if they gave me a donation. But in any case, there seems to be some kind of relationship between us. And as it develops more, then Krishna may send some people to take some books, give some donations. I become more enthusiastic. People become a little bit more receptive, at least some people. And I start realizing that I become more enthusiastic to the point that sometimes if one is having a very good day distributing a lot of books, then it looks like one starts saying, I'm in control. Someone's walking down the street and goes, sir, stop right here, this spot right here. You go, yes, sir. Here, there's a book for you. Yes, yeah. How much can I give you for it? Well, you know, some people give 100, 200. I don't have that much. Well, give what you can. Is that enough? No. Can I go to the bank and get some money out? Sure, I'll wait right here for you. Don't be long. Yes, I'll be right back. Someone starts saying, yes, I'm in control. You over there. Come over here. Stop right here. This book is for you. Thank you. And the more one starts thinking like that, yes, I'm in control, I figured it all out, I got my mantra down, and from here on in, it's just a smooth sailing back to the spiritual world. And as soon as one thinks like that, the curtain of Yoga Maya kind of like gets pulled, and we're back, and the curtain of Maya, Mahamaya gets pulled down, and you go, sir, you over there, and you go, yeah? Come over here. Yeah, all right, man. Come right over there. Who do you think you are, anyhow? Take this book. Yeah, I'm going to take the book and put it right over your head. And suddenly the whole scene changes and we're not in control anymore. And it's not by accident. It's not like, you know, it's just arbitrary. It's because of our mood. If we're in the mood of devotional feelings, humbly praying for Krishna's mercy, enlivened with the service to Krishna, at the same time feeling humble, that we're dependent on Krishna, then the happiness and the empowerment will increase more and more. And as soon as we become a little bit puffed up, as soon as we forget what's actually the reality of the situation, then gradually or immediately Krishna withdraws his potency and we're simply ordinary conditioned souls again, struggling with the material mind and senses to try to do something. In other words, by properly executing this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is manifested through the Panchatattva and our disciplic succession, coming down through Srila Prabhupada, then we can actually come very quickly to the spontaneous platform. On the other hand, if one tries to understand the feelings of Srimati Radharani just through the process of meditation, then it's very unlikely one will make very much progress. There may be some progress because Srimati Radharani and Krishna, they're very merciful, and if we develop a pure desire, but their desire that he's come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not simply to relish the bhava of Srimati Radharani. He's come also to spread the Sankirtan movement. So we're not the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nor did Lord Chaitanya simply sit in one place for his whole life and try to experience the bhava of Srimati Radharani. He himself went out and preached. He also cultivated knowledge when he was younger and then gave it up and took up the process of devotional service and then became a preacher for some time. Then only at the end of his appearance, to show us what the goal is, he's manifested this internal reasons in such a way as we can become aware of them. But the Sankirtan movement continued all the time, and certainly Lord Chaitanya bestowed his mercy upon those participating in it. And if we want to come to realizing these internal reasons, then we have to do it through participating in the Sankirtan movement. Spreading the mission of Lord Chaitanya, not simply trying to enjoy Lord Chaitanya. Just trying to enjoy Lord Chaitanya while the conditioned souls are suffering means that we haven't really understood Lord Chaitanya's feelings. Undoubtedly, as Lord Chaitanya was experiencing this great ecstasy, then he was feeling even more compassion to the souls, that they weren't experiencing the same ecstasy that he was feeling. It's not that he was feeling so much ecstasy that he just forgot about his mission and called Lord Nityananda, the Panchatattva, all his devotees together and say, forget about the mission, just relish the bhava. No, the more ecstasy Lord Chaitanya felt, the more he developed compassion for the conditioned souls, wanting them to come to the same platform of ecstasy. So the more he became enthusiastic to spread the Sankirtan movement. So we should also try to understand these things and not become bewildered by only a partial understanding of our philosophy. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Maran? Let's see. Yes?
I was reading the approach of Prabhupada Sutta. He says, you approach a person and you say, there's nobody as learned as you are. This way, just make him puffed up.
Prabhupada Nanda Saraswati Srinada.
I think never practiced this. Should we practice like this?
Yeah, sure.
How do you practice it then?
That's the best way to practice. I mean, at least the mood has to be there. If you go up to someone and say, sir, I've never met someone disgusting as you are. I mean, he looks less than subhuman. You're definitely subhuman. That's why I'm out here, to give you my, because I'm so compassionate. So I thought you should take this or else you're going to hell. You know? Someone like you has no chance. But because I'm out of my cause's mercy, I've come on the street to bestow my unalloyed mercy upon everyone here, beginning with especially you. Therefore, I think you should give a donation. Don't you think? So, most of the people on the street probably wouldn't agree with it. It's probably not the best approach to the conditioned souls. Most of them, if they actually even stopped to listen to you, would think you were joking with them. And if they saw you were serious, then you'd really be in trouble with someone. No, if you go up to someone, even the attitude, even if you don't say it, if the attitude is, sir, wow, I just met a wonderful person. You're so nice. Then the people think, wow, here's an intelligent person for you. Here's a person with the right attitude. And they'll stop, because no one wants to stop, you know. Sir, stop, I want to tell you what a rotten, lousy person you are. Yeah, yeah, wow, that's nectar, tell me more. You know, when's the last time you took a shower? I don't believe it. Wow, you could smell what I was smelling. Really? No, people don't want to be insulted. If someone stops and says, sir, wow, you're so effulgent. Where did that smile, happy smile come from? You really like you're in bliss. I really like your association. And people think, oh yeah, that's right. So that attitude has to be there. That you're very intelligent. You're very, you know, you're a wonderful person. And a wonderful person, then they'll think, yeah, that's true. And what can I do for you, such a wonderful person as me? I'm very magnanimous, of course. But I'll certainly want to help all these fallen souls like you, all my devotees. I have mercy for, especially for my devotees. Well, here, take this book, give a donation. Sure, no problem. I can do practically anything for my devotees. You take this book and the subtle thing is, yes, take this book, you read it, and all your nonsense, you realize you're just a fool number one, and then you'll surrender to Lord Chaitanya. But not that we tell everyone that. But internally, we understand that. Of course, sometimes it works also, as I mentioned before. I remember one day when one of the devotees was distributing books, and he approached one later and said, oh, you know, is the typical, the airport especially, what we used to do. When there was a mother and a daughter, you go up to someone and say, hey, take this book, we're handing these out to sisters. We're handing these out to the sisters today. You know, you both sisters, right? And then the mother goes, hey, no. Actually, this is my daughter. No, really? And then she goes, oh, you're just flattering me. Goes, oh, no, I'm serious. And then she goes, oh, you're just flattering, but I'll give you a donation anyhow. So a little flattery does work a lot of times. Yeah. The three internal reasons.
One and a half.
Well, at least we can try to give you the other half. The first reason is that Srimati Radharani is the abode of conjugal love, Madhurya Rasa. And Krishna is the Vishaya of that. So, you know, in the exchange of love, that Krishna is being the Vishaya, the object of love, and Srimati Radharani, she is able to experience Krishna's unlimited qualities and sweetness, even more than Krishna can even imagine. So he wanted to experience his qualities through taking the position of the Ashraya, the abode of love of Madhurya Rasa, rather than just being the object. Is that clear? And the second reason is that in the exchange of love that Srimati Radharani experiences or tastes Krishna's love more than Krishna can even taste her love. not only the qualities, but she also experiences Krishna's love for her in her role as the Yashraya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to experience the love that Krishna has to Srimati Radharani, which Radharani experienced love. She experiences the happiness is even greater than Krishna's experience of the love that Srimati Radharani has for Krishna. And the love that Srimati, and the third reason is that when Srimati Radharani and the reciprocation of loving exchanges, she experiences happiness due to her love millions of times more than Krishna experiences. So he also wanted to taste the happiness that Srimati Radharani experiences due to her love for Krishna. Is that clear? Clear. Now we're up to two at least, maybe two and a half. And it's quite subtle. I mean, it's dealing with the subtlest thing that exists, pure unalloyed love, and the experience of it. So, I can't say I understand it, but when we do understand it, then we'll be quite fortunate. That is a fortune that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought. Anarth Bisham Shrim Shrat Karuna Yavatirna Kalo. That he's descended in the age of Kali just specifically to show us these three internal reasons. He could have spread the Sankirtan movement, many people would have went back to Godhead, but not. He's showing this unalloyed love between Radha and Krishna, this complete selflessness. So that's also something that we can come to, that platform, a Madhurya Rasa, especially following the way of the transcendental mood of Srimati Radharani, which is completely spotless and unalloyed love. Yeah.
Describe the one can take a body in the past times of the time of the world and in the past times of Krishna. Can one or will one be able to be in any other rasas also?
You want to be in other, you mean, yeah, anyone in this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to show all the rasas, not only one or two rasas, any rasa. You mean in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's?
Can one be simultaneously in many different?
No. Although they're residents, they have many rasas. So in that sense, like Balaram, he has a combination of servitude and friendship and parental rasa. But simultaneously being many rasas, Krishna, he does that because he can reciprocate with many rasas. But as far as us, I guess in one sense that's possible. I mean, because the devotees, if Krishna wants, can expand themselves, and therefore if they have a multitude of rasas, but generally one is prominent, but if they have a multitude of rasas, then it's possible they can exhibit different rasas in different places. But that's not talked about very much for the devotees. Mostly it's talked about for Krishna. I mean, Madhurya Rasa includes all the other rasas. So, just like Srimati Radharani sometimes may exhibit friendship with Krishna or conjugal love, or I don't know about parental love, is not really compatible with conjugal love, but anyhow, there may be more than one rasa to experience. But generally there's one rasa which is always prominent, one particular mood. Do you know anything about that, Mark?
I don't think that would make sense, to be simultaneously two rasas conflicting.
Not all the time.
Yeah. No, but to shift from one mood to another, I think it's kind of reflecting more the material nature where we are restless and not absorbed. I think once one comes into a particular rasa, one becomes so absorbed, there's no desire for anything else. It's more satisfying.
But certain rasas, certain personalities have more than one rasa. Simultaneously. Like Balaram is principally in friendship, but he also displays parental love and servitorship.
So. Yeah, but there's a predominant rasa, yeah. And these others are just extra features of it, included in the predominant rasa.
For Hanuman, for instance, he's predominantly servitorship, but he has a tinge of friendship in him.
And
if one
could take a body, two bodies, already in Kuroda Navadi, and Kuroda Navadi, and Kuroda Navadi, and even more bodies.
Well, that's possible, but that's not.
Yeah, but in the Veda Bhagavatamrita, as I mentioned, that in the Vaikuntha, the residents take many, many different bodies. Right? They have all these different bodies for the pleasure of Krishna, that they manifest at different points of time. That doesn't mean that they change their rasa. These bodies are just sustaining the same rasa.
Yeah, so it's not general, you know, I try and experience all the rasas. No, not like that. Generally, there's a predominant mood. Yes.
You were saying, Radharani enjoys 10 million times more, and the Gopis even more. So, if Krishna is the source and bestowing it all, so you must have experience of this. Because you can't get what you don't have.
Well, that's why he comes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to experience it.
He must already experience it.
Well, I don't want to argue over transcendental time, because I have no experience for exactly what it means, but it's eternally going on, but still it says he comes to he takes that form. So I'm just repeating what Chaitanya Charitamrita has. If you want to discuss it with Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can. But I'm not Chaitanya Charitamrita personified, so I can't carry out the discussion. Yeah, of course Krishna understands everything, but through taking the position of Lord Chaitanya, not in the position as Krishna.